Welcome to the Roma Press Podcast with Jun Solano and Andy Mattioli.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to this exciting post-mortem edition of the Roma Press Podcast. We hope that you are doing well. A quick thank you to our two newest patrons over at Patreon, Kevin and Alex. We thank you both along with our other wonderful patrons who allow us to continue what we do here. It truly does mean a lot, and it does help, especially when you have a group full of individuals who are all depressed along the same time as you, Andy, because our patron group once again was about as expected, definitely in need of a therapy session. I don't really know where to start with yesterday evening, because that was ugly in all facets, whichever way you look at it. I have to tell you, the thing that kind of jumped out at me, though, was in the post-match, and I said this on my reaction podcast, Mourinho saying they dominated. He doesn't actually mean that, right? Like, that was him kind of protecting his team and his players, like we've seen him do millions of times. Yeah, like there is no way he can watch the video and do the video analysis today, and he's going to say, "Wow, did we dominated that?" Right? This has to be right. Him protecting his team. Hopefully,
yeah, I mean, of course, this is a PR move. Mourinho is all about PR, especially when, you know, then he goes out and fights for the rights of journalists who cannot attend the press conference and have to.
I did not view him as a big First Amendment guy. That was
apparently he is. You know, surprise. Yesterday he just wrapped himself in a flag and walked out in the name of all journalists. So the journalist profession is safe, thanks to Jose Mourinho. You don't mean that after a derby. You never mean what you say, and especially a derby that you lose, you don't mean what you say. Roma were slow to start. And then when there was that reaction, it wasn't enough. And it happens, it's a matter of which team is more prepared and more focused, which team wants it more. Lazio wanted it more this time around. It's a shame, because first derby in a while in front of fans, but, you know, what can you do? You can't do anything. You have to sort of take this loss and learn from it. You know, you are still in a good position. This is a team that gave you a lot of difficulties, but it's not you didn't face a super team. This is a team that should match up pretty well to Roma, and the fact that they were able to take the results so early on in the game, you know, will further highlight the limits of this Roma team. But again, if people want me to come on here and talk about lessons learned after these matches, it's just I cannot do it, because I think that lessons learned will be a topic that we can discuss at the end of the season. So far, it's more or less what I expected. It's more or less a team with a lot. You know, when it's low, it's slow. When it's up, and you know, you have certain things that work beautifully, and you have a lot of things that are clearly still not in place, and you have a number of players overperforming, a number of players underperforming. It's a mixed bag, and so are Lazio. It was just a matter of, again, who wanted it more. This time around, unlike the previous encounter, it was Lazio.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's interesting, because the way you sort of view these things, it really does depend on your mindset. Now, I tried my best to go with the glass being half full point of view, because if we want to travel down that path, Roma are still in fourth place. even losing yesterday, they didn't drop any spots in the table. Good thing, in my opinion. If we want to go with the glass half empty, of course, second time within 7 days that you concede 3 goals within a match. I don't know if we want to travel down that path or how far we do want to go down that path, but how concerned are you with the defense? Especially, and you know, I don't want to pick on the guy, but Gianluca Mancini was, he was dreadful yesterday, just like he was against Verona.
Right, okay, but you know, it's, is that an area of concern that has become a concern of mine right now? No, it's something that we've been struggling and having ups and downs for the past 2 years. And, you know, I see a lot of people saying, oh, well, you need a center back in January. Well, my friends, good luck, okay? You're not going to get a center back in January. It's not going to happen. It won't be a priority until you have the likes of Kumbula and Smalling sitting on the bench. Maybe it's time to switch things up. Although I just don't see that happening. You want to give these guys consistency. You want to have them play through these moments. It doesn't mean that we will see an Ibanez and Mancini partnership along the likes of Chiellini and Bonucci in 2015. It's not going to be that. It's never going to be that. It was never going to be that.
Right.
But, you know, I guess I just don't, I don't see the point in you know, in pointing fingers at specific players based off of these matches, because I think that a lot of, if in these games that things went wrong, they went wrong for a lot of people involved. Mm. So it's, you know, the Mancini sucked, okay, but so did a number of other players that, you know, then you have to ask yourself, oh, do we have an issue here? Do we have an issue there? And then all of a sudden, you're basically saying that the whole team has an issue. And the team is filled with issues, of course. but we knew that, and everybody there knows it. They know that you're not supposed to concede that easily. You're not supposed to let a side like Verona score three goals on you. You're just not. That's not something you do if you're a quality side. You're not a quality side. You're fighting to be a quality side. The important thing is to play through these moments. Is not to get overwhelmed by a loss like this, which is, you know, it's not easy. It's a derby. You care about it. It's special. Everybody. Right. Differently, so I totally understand. I'm not saying I don't think that people should, you know, but it's also a matter of realizing what this team is aiming for. And as you said, you know, they are still in the position. Did I expect them to start off right off the bat like Napoli did? No, I didn't. I expected this team to be pretty much where they are right now, and maybe that's what in the long run will help them find their footing, because you clearly see that they're still trying to find, you know, and sort of find a balance between what they're good at and what they're not really good at. And you see this team, not of two halves, but this team of certain episodes. You see this team, you know, play brilliantly from 1 minute to really just letting the opponent run a counterattack that almost ends up in a goal. And you see this team make really great team plays to then making really basic mistakes. And that just shows you that this is a team that has a lot to learn and a lot of ways to grow. It was never meant to be simple. When Jose Mourinho signs for 3 years, he signs for 3 years. He doesn't sign for 3 months, as he said. With what you have at your disposal, you're always going to get these moments. It's a matter of maybe having them now rather than having them later on. You know, we always say of this Roma team blowing up in mid-season. But maybe if they have these difficulties now, maybe if they can sort them out now, if they can face the fact that, hey, Gianluca Mancini has plenty of character, plenty of personality, but is very mistake-prone. Or if maybe Vigna, great at going forward, maybe less great at tracking back. Or, you know, whatever. But if you recognize those deficiencies early on, you also recognize how to you know, sort of fix it. Or at least for the time being. And that's my hope. That's my hope because, you know, a derby loss stings. But sometimes, like that Verona, where you lose against the side that you're supposed to win, here you lose against the side that, you know, is not that better than you, is pretty much in a very similar situation as you are, kind of in the middle of something, still don't know what they are, what they want to be. Maybe if you get these, you know, if you get these challenges out of these obstacles out of the way early on, maybe later on that will pay off. That's me looking at the glass half full, at least.
Mm. Yikes. Well, if that's glass half full, because you basically ran down the list and said, we have a lot of deficiencies within the team. Now, I know maybe some of us,
but we spoke about it. But we spoke about it all summer long. When it was the transfer market, and we were recording based on nothing other than some meaningless friendlies in Portugal or against Ternana, we were saying this team is still that team. This team has a lot of ways to go. So the context, the discussion still applies, whether it is July or end of September.
So there is nothing then from your vantage point that you learned in that match yesterday where you thought, okay, well, wow, I thought he was much better than the way he's performing. Now, you brought up, because I saw a lot of discussion going around individuals, and like you, I kind of think focusing solely on individuals in a match like that, really, it sort of just misses the entire point or the greater point that there is. And I think, which is something we've echoed a number of times on here, which is this is still the team, again, that has finished seventh from last season with Paulo Fonseca. You can't just snap your fingers, and with a new manager, you expect them to, again, drop many of the bad habits that they developed. I guess where I can understand some of the fears of other supporters is, well, Mourinho and us as supporters, we thought that Gianluca Mancini was, you know, a guarantee at the back. Well, now you go from a guarantee to having a question mark. We thought that, I don't know, Mkhitaryan was a guarantee in attack, and now it looks like we have a concern with him.
Okay.
You're not there, though, then.
What? I was there a long time ago. Didn't we have these discussions where it was questioned whether this backline is solid or not? Didn't we question Mkhitaryan's consistency? Wasn't there a point in time where we talked about, look, Mkhitaryan great, but switches off. When he switches off, he's nowhere to be found. You know, isn't that where we were? Didn't we talk about Ibanez being, you know, too aggressive sometimes and venturing out and then leaving a hole in the back, or Mancini not being able to read his man? We talked about it time and again. And you know, it's if now we're again finding out about this, then I guess lessons were not learned, and you know, when we addressed the two seasons under Paulo Fonseca, it was exactly the kind of two seasons that we're sort of seeing now in these first few games. A number of highs and a number of lows, and players, you know, going from a brilliant display to where you say, oh, Mancini, what a warrior, playing through a cut on his cheek, to being, oh crap, Mancini again, no, I want Kumbula starting. It's so I'm just saying, I think that these games, to the current, if you gave me a whole different roster, if you said, oh, you know what, this is a major overhaul, a whole new team, new coach, there you go. Now, you know, make what you want out of a game like this. Then I would be able to say something new, something fresh. But here, it's a matter of recognizing that the deficiencies are still the same. Mancini will still have trouble reading his men. We will still fall for the same trick every damn time. We'll still make the usual mistake. You know, Cristante and Vertu maybe don't work too well together. Mkhitaryan switches off in big games. Wasn't that the theme of last year? Didn't we say that in the big games, the likes of Mkhitaryan, Pedro, Dzeko, were the ones that switched off constantly. I would like to come on here and be like, oh, you know what? You know what's new? Mancini sometimes sucks. But we knew it. We knew it. It's something that you're bound to know. If you like Mancini, you'll like him because of other things. He's never going to be, you know, a Ballon d'Or in defending. He's not going to be Van Dijk. He's not going to be Paolo Cannavaro. But You work with what you have at your disposal. Now, if Mourinho says, okay, let's see what Smalling can do instead of Mancini, great. Okay, fantastic. Then maybe then I will be able to say, oh, you know what? Maybe we have to continue this way. Maybe Mancini indeed, has his limits and his role must be questioned. But right now, off a derby loss, where, you know, you get overwhelmed in the opening minutes, then you try to react. You have trouble doing that. You're not as effective. It's just a movie that I've seen too many times to really comment on with anything other than this is the same old team that is in the middle of a process. And the process will take time. And we know it, at least hopefully we know it. But they know it damn well. They know that damn well. Thiago Pinto, Jose Mourinho, they know that it's a process. They know that what they have is not enough. But for the time being, they have to work with it.
Yeah. I guess it's tough to, really get an idea as to, listen, is this a team that is growing? Or is this a player who's maybe just not up to it? Is this guy who is not at the level? And I guess the difficult thing we're just going to have to accept at times like this is there are going to be a lot of bumps in the road. And listen, everybody agrees that it sucks. You know, last night sucked. That really sucked. You know, the second time within, what, a year where the derby seems over within the first, 15 minutes. You know, and it is just so deflating. And it's difficult in that moment to have balance. It's difficult to keep the proper perspective. So I can understand a lot of people maybe overreacting to certain things. I do understand. Beyond that, though, beyond all of that, I do think that we are learning some things. Who, again, is up to it, who maybe isn't at the level necessary for Roma. Moving forward, at least, as far as the actual, the tactical approach, the overall, just the way the team plays, it really does seem like they only have periods in a match where they sustain it. You know, it doesn't seem like from 0 to 90 where they are able to play this way that Mourinho asks. Like, I think we would agree, the first half compared to the second half yesterday, it was like two different teams, yeah? I mean, it was eye-opening.
Right, but you had that against Salernitana, you had that against Fiorentina, you know, you had that on a number of occasions, and you know, it's a matter of also of interpreters who you have as players. You're saying, listen, you look at Spalletti, what he's doing with Napoli, it's because he loved that roster, you know, and he loved it so much that he said to Giuntoli, I don't care who you buy, you can buy, you know, my grandma, and he did but that would be too big of a word, but by getting Juan Jesus. What mattered to him was keep the team as it is because it really fits the ideas that I have. With Mourinho, you knew that he was coming in here and there were a lot of elements that just didn't work for him.
Right.
But he's forced to work with them. You know, the fact that he's integrating El Shaarawy, even though El Shaarawy, I think, is far from a player that Mourinho would consider on a normal basis. The fact that he's, you know, willing to work with a number of players with a midfield that is far from his ideal midfield. Again, it's a matter of having the right interpreters. Roma don't have that luxury. You know, they went out, they got Eldar Shomurov at a request of Jose Mourinho. They got Tammy Abraham when Dzeko left because Jose Mourinho liked him. Okay, but then you have all the rest that you kept them because, listen, sometimes it's easier to keep the players you have than letting them go. And then what? You know, you don't have the financials to do it. You don't have the right timing, whatever. But you have to work with what you have. And this entails this. A loss in the derby may be a good wake-up call. It certainly will, you know, it certainly will be an additional thing to study. If for sure, you know, he can say whatever he wants after the game that we dominate, but you can bet your ass that tomorrow morning when they resume training, he's going to go in, take the video of Verona, take the video of yesterday, and analyze the two losses thoroughly, because it's imperative of this team to learn from the mistakes they make, because there are a lot of mistakes. And, you know, these guys are not all stars. They don't fit the manager's, a lot of them don't fit the manager's idea. I mean, he has a bench on which he relies very reluctantly. That tells you a lot. We'll see what happens. I think that it's just a matter of accepting it, you know, of taking it on, both as fans and players, of saying, okay, you know, this is, if this can lead us somewhere, if we can be better in the long run because of a shitty derby at the end of September, that, yes, you know, we get completely slapped out of the game after 15 minutes, then so be it. At least here and now we have some time to work through it. We have some accessible games coming up, you know, games that,
yes,
you know, we can rotate, we can try new things. They're not going to be, you know, the highlight of the night. Nobody's going to tune in into, I don't know, Roma, Empoli, whatever. But at least that allows you to work things out, instead of just, you know, going from one game to another and not really having the time to understand what the hell went wrong. And after a loss like that, the learning aspect is essential, especially when you have so many, you know, so many ill-fitting pieces.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know. It is really difficult to really get a grasp on this, because I also look at it from the point of view of, listen, I didn't think the performance yesterday was particularly good. I don't think many would disagree with that. If a refereeing decision goes the other way, though, we might be sitting here having a different conversation. And I guess that just goes to show you how thin the margins are in football as far as those refereeing decisions go. Okay, so, listen, Irati, he's not a good referee. I don't think that's exactly news to anybody who's been following Serie A for even a short amount of time. This guy sucks. To me, he's not far behind Rocchi, who I thought far and away was one of the most incompetent individuals to oversee a football match that I've ever seen in my life. I still think of what took place in Torino in 2014, Roma Juve, that will forever be ingrained in my mind. I will never forget that, and I will never let that go. For you, okay, I don't think that if those refereeing decisions go another way that Roma necessarily win. However, they obviously play a huge part, particularly Pedro, who, by the way, who didn't see that coming? Like, we should have
we said it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't gamble like many in our patron group do. I know we have a lot of avid sports bettors in there, especially. I'm not big into that, but I kind of regret you and I not pooling our money together.
Oh, we should have. Putting
our life savings on Pedro.
On 34-year-old Pedro. No, but it was, I mean, isn't that even jinxing? I saw a lot of people saying, oh, you jinxed it. Is that even jinxing when you when you know that it's gonna happen, you know, you just felt it. It was when Sarri said in his pre-match conference that Pedro was gonna play, you knew that was happening. So it's some things are meant to be. Isn't that the greatest story ever told of the first transfer from Roma to Lazio, who scores in one derby with one shirt and then goes to the consecutive derby and scores with the other shirt? That's, you know, that's for the history books. So if you're a Roma fan, you should know better. You should put all the money in the world on Pedro scoring. If you didn't do it, you're a schmuck like John and I, and you should know better in the future.
Yeah, I, you know, you didn't have to be a medium to see that coming. Everybody, that was the most obvious goal of all time. And what makes it even more comical, of course, is that it comes immediately after Zaniolo gets taken down. Now, again, this is going to sound like we're bitter or we're Roma supporters, so this is why we're thinking this way, of course. I thought that was a penalty. And then I thought, the fact that we all thought it was a penalty was reinforced by what took place in the second half by something, in my opinion, that was not a penalty. I can't help but feel that had a huge influence on the match, but I still feel like, and maybe this is unfair to a certain extent, but let's say that penalty goes Roma's way. When you look from 0 to 90, though, they were outplayed, right? For me, viewing things in the way of, oh, well, if we get that penalty, everything is different, I think that's kind of short-sighted. I think that is almost like viewing that episode as a get-out-of-jail-free card. To me, you can't analyze football that way because, okay, fine, you draw. Certainly, you feel better. But does that really mean the performance was that much better if that penalty is awarded? For me, it's no. I can't look at it like that.
Well, I do look at give me the penalty and let's see what happens. But obviously, you know, that doesn't overshadow the performance, and it shouldn't. And maybe again, you know, you learn to react differently when you have a loss in your track record than if you have like a draw where you can always say, we look at the scoreline, look at, you know, our reaction, blah, 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 blah. When you have a draw, yes, you may feel bitter about an episode not going your way, but you still have to face the fact that you came up short and Roma came up short. More importantly, they should have came out as well prepared as Lazio did in the opening minutes, and that has been a theme for. If I wonder if somebody can give me like come up with the track record of the last, I don't know, derbies and what since Di Francesco's last year, because I do think that if you look at those games, the theme of it, which I believe that it most of them went Lazio's way. I believe that the theme of them is Roma just not being as well prepared as Lazio, and Lazio wanting it more, coming out right off the bat.
Yes, at the beginning, especially
scoring
too.
Early on. Yeah, yes. that should if you look at those games, that should be the theme. I feel like that's been the prevalent theme, and it's time to change that, because you know it was nice to win the last derby before this one. What was it, 2-0 something, where Pedro yes. scored, blah blah. that was nice, but it just would feel right if Roma would be able to give these, at least this match, some kind of consistency, because otherwise the more or less the consistency is Roma gets slapped by Lazio because Lazio wanted more. That has been the theme really for a number of years, where you just watch the game and you feel like, yeah, maybe they get a draw here, or maybe they get a win, or maybe they lose in some kind of, you know, gentleman fashion. But the reality of the situation is they don't want it as much as that other team.
This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. With Ramp, you get full visibility into your company's spending and control who spends what with each vendor. Ramp software collects and verifies receipts instantly to save your team valuable time. Ramp automates data entry and routine tasks with automated approvals, expense categorization and bill payments, time-consuming tasks, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. Get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members of FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
Yeah, I don't think there's any way to disagree with that, especially the way they come out. And even Ibanez said it yesterday in the post-match where he said we had the wrong approach to start. For me, that's the most frustrating part. How do you get that wrong so early? I mean, when was it? It was in January, right? When they gave up those three goals within like 10 minutes with Fonseca? Yeah? I mean, is there anything more deflating than that? I mean, it's one thing to lose a derby, okay? It's another thing to have said derby be over within the first 10 to 15 minutes. For me, that's the difficult part when it comes to Roma's approach with these things. I just don't understand how you can just come out so mentally unprepared. And for me, beyond the tactics, I think that was the most eye-opening thing yesterday beyond what Mourinho said. It just seems like a lot of these guys, Andy, is it that they're not up for the moment? Is it that they just mentally get overwhelmed? Or is it just they're not good players? Because we're seeing some of the same things happen with Mourinho that we saw happen with Fonseca.
Well, I don't think... No, I mean, listen, again, Pedro scores yesterday, but with us, what do you do in these big games? Aside, yeah, okay, exactly, from scoring in the derby.
Against Udinese, come on.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's probably the highlight of his time at Roma. But the point is that I don't know. I would love to know that, because exactly there is such a palpable difference in the approach that you really have to wonder what the hell goes on in those players' heads. I think that, yes, it has a lot to do with the nerves. And because also, if you watch those, for Lazio, their best players always perform in those games.
Yes.
Always. Yes. That cannot be said about Roma. It cannot be said, unfortunately. Again, if somebody goes back, watches those previous games where maybe we have lost against Lazio, whatever, or maybe where Lazio came out on the defeat end. If you look, Milinkovic-Savic, Immobile, you know, the whole pack, Acerbi, whatever, their best players are always there in those games. Ours, not so much. So right. if your best players are not present in a game like this, then how do you expect a guy like, for example, Vigna to play? Somebody who just got back from an injury, previously had played I don't know how many games in a row for both club and country going back to Brazil. How is a guy supposed to play in a match of this magnitude first time around if the guys that should know better don't know better? I think that at the end of the day is the difference maker, and Mourinho's biggest task is to change exactly that. Work on character. That's it. Tactics can come later on. I want the character side of it.
I agree. I just, this is difficult to really get a grasp on, because it's, you know, on a day like today, you want to lash out, you want to place blame, you want to just find reason as to why these things keep happening, especially in the derby. But again, I kind of think just going down the route of placing blame on individuals really misses the whole point. This is a collective issue. I don't think there's any denying that. I mean, collectively, matches like this, these 3 years it's been where they are just not up for it. So I don't know. We'll have to see what happens. I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt, this Conference League match that's coming this week, I'm not going to say that I've never been less excited for any match that Roma have played in my entire life, but I can't exactly say I can't wait to see Roma face. I don't even know how to pronounce this name. Should I? I mean, who is this? This is unbelievable. I can't believe that they're subjecting themselves to this. Anyway, it's frustrating. It's difficult to make sense of. But having the proper balance, again, is difficult in times like this. But I know I probably sound like somebody getting paid you and I used to be called friends of Palalta. It probably sounds like Dan Friedkin slipped me a 100-euro note to throw this in there. But, I mean, they still are in fourth place, Andy, which...
Yeah.
Given new manager, the same group of players that they had under Paulo Fonseca, I mean, fourth seems like what this team is.
And other teams just playing on a whole different level. I mean, you have ahead of you Napoli, Inter, Milan, who are just grinding out points like it was, you know, butter. So it's... Yeah,
exactly. Right. And listen, as you said, I think there's... reasons for each of those things happening. Spalletti, it was basically the Lamborghini was already running, the keys were turned on, the ignition was already powered up. All he had to do was get in the driver's seat, push down the gas, and that's it. That was a very talented team. Inter, you know, come on, they just won the Scudetto. Milan, I keep waiting for the other shoe to drop, so to speak. I can't believe... Pioli is still doing this.
I'm not going to reevaluate Pioli as a coach. They're not going to. I see a lot of people say, "Oh, you know what? Pioli is doing a hell of a job." Yeah, okay, okay. I'm not going to reevaluate him. No,
we have like 8 clubs of evidence as to what this guy is. I just refuse to believe that at Milan, of all places, that it is where he has broken the. Basically everything we've been used to from him for the past decade. I just refuse to believe it.
Also, Atalanta have rediscovered the special ingredient for their potion. Yeah,
it's Bangsbo.
So you're going to have to hold on tight because Bangsbo is not slowing down. Inter are still Inter. You know, they may have made some radical changes, but they're still in the driver's seat. So is Milan carrying on from last season. And Napoli right now are just, you know, playing out of their minds, waiting for that first loss or first negative result to take place. But Roma are still in it. You gotta learn from your mistakes if you want to continue being in it.
Yeah, so that was basically, to end it here, that was essentially my long-winded way of saying, listen, as much as last night sucked, and again, it is a kick in the groin. Nothing is worse than a Sunday evening where you build your weekend up looking forward to this one match and it turns out that way. I completely understand. There is nothing worse than that. It's a horrible feeling. We all hate it. That being said, I mean, Andy, all things considered, I mean, they're right on track. It is not as if, okay... This loss to Verona, the loss in the derby, it is not as if that has derailed anything. Roma, in my opinion at least, you know, maybe there are people who thought with Mourinho it meant Scudetto, a challenge immediately. I, of course, wasn't one of those people, but if you were, perhaps I can understand why you're a bit disappointed at this moment. But for me, they're right on schedule, right? I mean, this is not... Again, as much as it hurts to watch them lose these delicate huge matches that you build yourself up for, it sucks. There's no escaping that. But I still think that, right, it is not as if they are way off schedule and, wow, I thought they would be 5 points, 6 points better by now.
No, I mean, listen, and also I don't know what the schedule is supposed to be. Like, you know, it's... 27th of September. Last season at this time around, we were, you know, right on schedule to win the Scudetto. you know, we were second place or whatever it was. We were right there. So this time around, again, it's take it step by step and see what the other teams do. But obviously, this is not the point in time where you say, you know, this team is crap. They're not gonna achieve anything. And also, you can't make judgments
right now. Come on.
Or also, you can't say, oh, this team has everything to beat Tottenham for the Conference League and, you know, whatever, because Tottenham are going through a rough patch. So it's a matter of staying balanced. Again, I'm going to sound boring. It's going to be boring. If somebody listened through this and came here to then hear me conclude with, you know, we need more balance, then obviously you're going to be disappointed. But that's what I'm going to say. You know, this team has a lot of ways to grow. So far, I've seen all kinds of shades of this team, and they were all shades that I knew, that I know about, that I've recognized for the past 2 years, and it's gonna take time to get rid of some, improve some. But that was what we signed up for. You know, that was what we signed up for. We weren't signing up for being Champions League finalists. We signed up for let's try and compete in order to get Champions League football back.
Yeah, 100%. And people are going to listen to this and say, this episode didn't help at all. Like, I don't feel better. I don't feel worse, but I certainly don't feel better. Because it's easy to come on here and complain and be negative. Because I'll say it for the 50th time. Instances like last night, they hurt, they suck, they're terrible to go through. But I guess it's difficult to find the right things to say to people if they weren't expecting bumps in the road like this. I think you and I, for one, were expecting nights such as last night's. To be frank with you, to only have 2 losses after, what is it, 8 matches, 9 matches? I consider that pretty positive. But when you're going through it, of course, it's very difficult. So I'll just echo what you said. Balance. Keeping balance is probably the only thing you can do right now, because otherwise you're going to drive yourself mad. I mean, this poor patron group, these guys, everybody's going to need therapy. Whenever they just decide to stop watching football at some point, maybe they never decide to do that. It's just, oh man, it is hard to keep balanced and sort of have a bit of levity in it all. But I would say that, again, this is a talented team. There's going to be bumps along the way. And I keep parroting a lot of the same things in this episode, but you were the first one to say it. I mean, this is still the team that finished 7th, Andy. If you look at that starting 11 yesterday, how many of them were there last season? Who was different? Rui Patricio and Tammy Abraham, was that it?
And Vinha.
And Vinha. And Vinha. Three.
Three out of 11, yeah.
So, I mean, that right there says it all. That says it all. You have a lot of guys who for 1 year, 2 years under Fonseca, were outside of Champions League, were outside of Europa League. So, patience. I guess that's the only thing I can say. And, I mean, for all of us, it's easy to say it, but to actually put it into practice is way more difficult. But, yeah, we apologize if this was not exactly the pick-me-up you were looking for, if this came short on rants, because, again, it would be easy to come on here and you and I do, like, the Stephen A. Smith routine.
Mm-hmm.
It would be very easy to do that. I would, in fact, part of me wishes to do that, or that with a mix of like Arsenal Fan TV, where, you know, I just curse and say this player is shit, that player is shit, but that doesn't do anything. A and B, it's hyperbole, and for it to be this early in the season, just, you know, hurling yourself off the cliff. I mean, my gosh, at least wait until May to do that. There's plenty of time to panic. So. we'll give it a few more months before we start having complete meltdowns. So we will be back later in the week, I guess, after this Conference League match. I just, this thing still feels like a really bad dream to me. It just, oh man, And congratulations to anybody who's filling up their passport booklet with going to any of these matches. I tossed around the idea of going to the one in Norway, Andy.
No, we're not. But, we're not. Yeah, we're not welcome in Norway, I think.
Right. But we had some people express their displeasure with us. But anyway, yes, we will be back later in the week. I guess we will talk about the Conference League match and perhaps, well, no, not perhaps. We will preview the match against Empoli, who are managed by, I mean, if you think we've been not very exciting today or we've been grouches, I mean, Andrea Zoli.
Yeah, you have a personal agenda against this guy, man.
I mean, again, Gasperini and he are about as fun as a swift, a people's elbow to the middle of your groin. I mean, they're just the most, most dreadful people to be around. So I look forward to that one, because anytime you can stomp on his face, I thoroughly enjoy it. So I hope Roma take full advantage of that opportunity. So we will chat again in a few days. Until then, ciao.
Ciao. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people. Oh, 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 O'Reilly
Auto Parts. Welcome to Pro Tips for the Pros, brought to you by Floor & Decor Bailey's Crossroads. In this series, we'll explore essential advice for professional contractors to deliver outstanding renovation results. Let's dive in. Before starting any renovation project, take the time to plan meticulously. Assess the customer's needs, budget, and timeline to ensure a smooth and successful renovation process. Thank you for joining us for this pro tip on planning thorough renovations. Stay tuned for more expert advice brought to you by Floor & Decor Bailey's Crossroads.
A lot of people tolerate ordinary. Ordinary bathrooms, kitchens, entryways. Well, not on your watch. If you're a pro, you've got a new partner in town. Floor & Decor. From tile to wood to stone, Floor & Decor has more styles and job lot quantities of Schluter, Mappe, Laetocrete, and other brands pros trust. Come see a whole new way to wow with Floor & Decor. Coming soon to Bailey's Crossroads.